Blog Talk Radio.
Eternal Bum Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick out there in Erie, Pennsylvania, Ralph Williams, 347-205-9631, as we tear up the weekend here. If you happen to miss this show and you want to see and hear this thing later, well, I'll get your friends all together for a marshmallow mash or whatever. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes. Ralph, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And there's a lot to talk about. We lost an icon in sports today in Jim Brown.
Yeah, that's a shame, Mark. It's really horrible that Jim Brown died. 89 years old. He was a Hall of Fame legend and running back for the Cleveland Browns. Probably one of the only bright spots for the Cleveland Browns in their whole tenure. But anyway, you can reach me at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com, and you can also reach me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and you can also reach me on YouTube. I have my own YouTube channel. You can catch all my archive versions of Sports Corner, the way I see it, Ralph Williams one-on-one, and talking wrestling as well. Just a program note, next week, all my shows, podcast shows, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will not be aired. You can catch archive versions of them on my YouTube channel because I am here in Erie, PA, along with my lovely wife, and we're enjoying our anniversary, which is Sunday, but we're enjoying it here in Erie for a week. I'm going to do some fishing, some relaxing, and really get into some stuff here. There's also, and I want to let everyone know this, a big cornhole tournament going on. So you can come on up here for a big cornhole tournament, Mark.
Is Beavis and Butthead there? I wanted to know if Beavis and Butthead were there.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I want to talk about our sponsors here at the show, DJ Fun. First, DJ Fun is a party, wedding, and special event DJ. Give him a call today. 15 years of experience in DJ work. Look, there are DJs out here, and I don't know how many more times they have to stress this to everybody. There are guys out here that have only DJed 6 months and are charging $1,500 to $2,000 for a three-hour party. Come on, everybody. I know you want to save money. I know you need someone that's experienced. Give DJ Fun a call, 412-545-4317. Please don't delay. Call today. Dates are booking fast, so please give him a call today. Also, I want to talk about our other sponsor, Hillcrest Farm in Richmond, Ohio, 740-346-5442 and 740-632-2894. They can be reached at hillcrestfarmsohio@gmail.com and also on their website at www.hillcrestfarmsohio.com and on their Facebook page at Hillcrest Farm. Now, look, Hillcrest Farm is in Richmond, Ohio, which is up the hill from Steubenville, Ohio, and it's only 45 minutes from the Pittsburgh area in western Pennsylvania, and even maybe even less than that, depending on how close you live to the Ohio border. Head out there, see Caitlin, see Taylor. I tell you, they have some great package deals. My favorite is the ground beef deal. $95, you get 20 pounds of ground beef. I tell you what, you cannot and anywhere find a deal like that. So get a hold of them today, either online or on the telephone. Call Hillcrest Farm. Get a hold of them today, please. The number again, 740-346-5442, 740-632-2894. Also want to talk about today, Draft 412, our big draft website, $9 a month. Get on there. They talk about baseball, hockey, football draft, anything that has anything to do with a sports draft. Draft 412 got you covered. $9 a month. You can't beat it. Get on their website today. All right, Mark, I'm ready to go. Let's get this show.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot to talk about. There's a six-game homestand in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about that. We'll break down the Jim Brown and everything. But the Pirates run into a hot Diamondback team that's coming in throwing their ace. He's 6-1 on the year, Zach Gallen. I think he's the dude that was warming up the other day and hit a bird and killed it accidentally. So the Snakes coming into Pittsburgh, followed by the Texas Rangers, a rarity that you get to see the Rangers come through in the first-place team. But any news of this six-game homestand before the Pirates then go back on the road to the West Coast, out here, Seattle and San Francisco?
Mark, the Pirates, I'd like to see them with this 16-game homestand at least try to win half of their games. If they can win half, Mark, I think the Pirates will be better served, okay? This 2-10 and 1-11 and whatever, this can't go on, Mark. I've said this many times. There has to be consistency. The Pirates have got to start winning these games. They can't. I would be satisfied with 8-8 on this homestand because at least they'll be even and they won't have to deal with 2-10. And every time they seem to get a big winning streak going and a big thing going like they did in April, they slide the next month or a week later, they're down 10 or 15 games. They can't do this. They have to be consistent. Derek Shelton got to get these guys in order and get them rolling here. The veteran players got to step up. It seems like now when the going gets tough, the veterans don't step up, and they have to start doing this again like they did in April. The magic in April can be there in May too, Mark, but it's got to continue to be the magic.
Yeah, it's an interesting homestand to say the least with these two teams coming in and then going back on the road. But they're one game behind the Brewers. They're sitting ahead of the Cubs and Reds, and the Cardinals are pulling up the rear six-pack. But it's a division where, you know, when you look at it, Ralph, I don't know if you've figured it out. They've already played seven interleague series so far. By the time they get Texas Monday, that'll be eight. And then they'll go right to Seattle. That'll be nine. The Dodgers, meanwhile, will be playing pretty much their second interleague series. They played their first with Minnesota, and they're on a road trip where they're going through Tampa. So I think it's nice that the Pirates are getting these interleagues out because they haven't played Chicago yet, and they haven't played Milwaukee yet. Two teams, one in front, one behind them. You know, this is going to be instrumental down the stretch. You want to take care of these teams in your division. Hopefully get these teams in your backyard, or if you have to go out to them in September when it means something, you don't want to really want to be playing the Detroits and, you know, Torontos that really don't determine anything. I mean, they determine, you know, everybody plays everybody, but still, you want to get those head-to-head ones out of the way when it means something later on in the year. Any thought to that?
Yeah, you're right, Mark, and it's great that the Pirates are actually have what they have right now. And like you said, Milwaukee, Chicago always break our backs. And, you know, the Pirates should be fortunate due to the schedule that they don't have to see these guys until later on. And that's a good thing because they can soak up some wins. Let's hope they can do that. They have to start soaking up these wins because once they start playing those guys, the Milwaukees, the Cubs, even St. Louis, even though they're sad right now, St. Louis could crop up in there. You never know where they're going to go. Cincinnati's another team that they seem to have difficulty with in beating. So let's see what the Pirates do. They have to win these division games, but right now they have an opportunity to get hot and stay hot. My question is, what are they going to do after the All-Star game, Mark? Because every year since Derek Shelton's been manager, they have flopped after the All-Star game, and it's been horrible. And I hope that doesn't happen again. Derek Shelton has to get this team together. They have veteran leadership on this team. There's no excuse for this. I don't know what kind of hitting instructors they keep hiring, but they got Andy Haynes from Milwaukee. He was supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. They bring him in here. He couldn't get along with Craig Council. He had some issues with some of the star players up there. So the Pirates signed him, and now we're having trouble hitting again. We're in a slump. So I don't know what's going on. Anyway, the Eckstein brothers here, that didn't help. So I'm not sure if it's the players or if it's the coaches. I don't know what it is, but something's got to give here with the hitting.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah, I think the Pirates have been building something over the years. They've been, bringing youngsters up. You know, they had at one time, I think, the seventh best minor league system, and they moved up the ladder. They got the number one pick in the draft this year. You know, they might take the kid from LSU, the outfielder Dylan Cruz there. So they've already got Henry Davis that they got a couple years ago in the minor leagues. The catching's coming up. The young guys are being nurtured by the veterans that they signed during the offseason in G-Man Choi, Carlos Santana, Rich Hill. I mean, McCutcheon's back. So you're not going to see that tailspin because the veteran leadership there really can, show these guys how to take it up another level. They've been around, plus they've been on some other teams that have had, winning traditions too. So I think that's the big thing here. Connor Joe, coming over, showing his leadership. Kiwon Bay, these are the kind of guys now that I don't think you're going to see. I think the Pirates make the playoffs. I really do, and call me a homer in more ways than one. But when you look at the Pirates this year compared to the last few years, it's been a building process. It's been laying down a foundation. It's been building structure. And for the people that stand there and say, losing seasons and everything, you got to lose to win. I mean, that's just basically it. And I think what the Pirates have done, look at they stuck with a guy like Mitch Keller, a number one pick. He had a rough go of it last year. Look what he's doing this year. So, times, take time. It just doesn't happen overnight. Rome wasn't built overnight, but I think the Pirates have put together something where they can build on. I think they're going to be in contention all year. Yeah, it's peaks and valleys. I'll tell you one thing, Ralph. You can't win a World Series in May, but if you don't get timely hits and play great defense, you can get buried in May. And the Pirates are playing, they have good defense. They're getting some stellar pitching. The hitting's been a little off, but that's okay. If they get that timely hit now and then, nobody's going to go 162-0. But at the same time, if you can win series and sustain that and build up a cachet of over 500, when you go into a losing spin, then you've got your bases covered. Any final thoughts on the Bucks?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Mark. The May is a month where you can't win the World Series in May. Like I've said many times, I would be very satisfied if this team just went 500 this year. I mean, because for the way they've lost 100 games in a row for forever, I wouldn't mind at all if they hit 500. That would be great for me. As a not only as a fan, but also as a sports talk show host here and elsewhere. Mark, we have 178 viewers on, and I want to thank them all for being on here. We were running a little late. We had some tech issues, but we got them worked out, and we're all set.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Where do you want to go now, my friend? You want to talk about Jim Brown meant? You want to talk about the Ja Morant in the NBA? You want to talk about the Maulers, Steelers, Penguins? What's on your mind?
We'll talk about the Maulers. It was great to see Ray Horton get a second win and the Maulers to get a second win because they have improved from last season. It's nice to see the offense moving the football a little bit. They got the running game going. They got the Williams kid at quarterback who is doing really well, using his feet, like another, running type of quarterback. And he throws when he has to, he's real good with that. Their run game, This past week wasn't all that great, but it's nice to have a quarterback that can run, Mark, because he was there. They were able to improvise with him. If they didn't have him in there, half the points that they scored last week, they would have been done. Because I got to tell you, this Williams kid, he can really. Troy Williams is our quarterback for the Maulers. He can really play, and this kid can run. He can throw. There's a lot of different things he can do. They're starting to work some different plays in there. I saw some gadget plays. I saw some fakes. I saw some jet sweeps. I saw some different things in there. Like last year, the offense was so stale, all they wanted to do was run, and no pass. It's like they're mixing it up, and they're doing some things. And so we'll see what they do this week. They got a tough game against New Orleans. New Orleans is a tough team this year. We're going to find out what they do against their defense. Maulers got a good defense, Boogie Roberts, and they got a few other guys that are just tearing it up right now. Ray Horton's aggressive defense. His son is the defensive coordinator, and so, you know, he knows what his dad expects of him and everything else with the defense and everything else. So I think the Maulers, you know, if they win one or two more games, Mark, that's improvement over last year. I'll be satisfied with that. So it's 10 games. If they go 4-6, to me, that's, you know, that's improvement, three games extra that they won. And maybe next year, and I hope next year, because I'm hearing stories now, rumors here in Pittsburgh, and I talked to the media relations guy with the Riverhounds, and he told me that there have been talks with the Maulers about using Highmark Stadium where the Riverhounds play, because that seats about 3,000-4,000 people. And they say that would be the perfect place for them to play, or a high school venue or something. Because Heinz Field's too big, it would make no sense to even rent Heinz Field for any of these USFL games or anything. And their crowds are down this year. I watched a couple games in Birmingham and whatnot. Crowds are down because of the XFL. And you got some of these USFL teams that are in the same cities as these XFL teams. And I think people got more excitement this year with the fact that The Rock owned the XFL. They got a little more excited about the XFL.
No, you bring up some interesting points, and that's the thing. And, you know, I don't think you're ever going to see them rival the NFL, but nice to see the XFL and the USFL playing in the spring, because if they went head-to-head with the NFL, there's no way they would survive. Any thought on that?
Oh, no way. Not at all. The NFL's it. I mean, they're number one. There was supposed to be a Major League Football group that was supposed to start up a league called Major League Football. The first coach that was hired was Jerry Glanville. He was playing for he was supposed to coach the Albuquerque, New Mexico team, and that never came about. And how many times has the NFL come up with some spring leagues? Remember World League of American Football? Remember, the American, what was that called? The American Football League or something. Heinz Ward was in charge of it from the ex-Steeler. And then when they got to the Super Bowl part of their championship game, they decided to dissolve everything. They didn't give the players their benefits.
Yeah.
It was a big mess. I remember when that happened about five, six years ago.
Yeah. Yep.
And we see
it in the other sports, too. Look at the old ABA teams that couldn't survive, and then the NBA stepped in, bought up Denver, bought up San Antonio. I think the other two were the New York Nets, and the fourth was Indiana. So, I mean, and Denver trying to make it their first, you know, NBA Finals. Since they've been in the league, man, and, you know, it's almost 50 years, so that's going to be interesting. Two wins away from being in their first NBA Finals, considering they were an ABA team. But, yeah, we've seen it in World Hockey Association, the WHA, teams getting bought up, teams coming over, the Hartford Whalers, the Quebec Nordiques. You know, the list goes on. But, yeah, in football, you can't go against these guys in when it's them time to play, because – You're not going to do nothing unless people and families are basically saying, hey, you know what, we can't afford NFL prices. We'll just go there and, you know, you buy there if we can, for the price of an NFL ticket compared to going to a USFL or XFL. Hey, our family can eat three hot dogs each. We can get free parking. Who knows what we can get. So I think that would be the benefit. And people will look at their wallets in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. You know what? I get criticized all the time. I get these nasty emails. I get these people that comment in the comment section of my Facebook page or whatever it is on Messenger, smoke signals, whatever, about how I made a comment. And it's the truth, though. a great trip idea for your family. If you don't have a lot of money to spend, take your kids to a Maulers game, $10 a ticket at Canton. Plus, you can go see the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? It's a great trip idea. Save gas. You know, everybody's complaining about, ooh, gas prices are so high. But then they drive to Florida. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. And, you know, oh, I'm going to take my kid to Disney World. Well, you know something? Disney World is laying off employees. So if Disney World's laying off employees, then that tells you what's going on with Disney World, okay? So, you know, why not take your kids to Canton, Ohio? What's the problem with that trip? You know what I mean? But I get the, oh, what would you think I want to take them there for? But you're right. Little Johnny, little Susie can get three hot dogs and maybe a souvenir. And, if you don't have to break the bank or take out a loan like you would if you had to go to Disney or somewhere else.
Right. That's the thing when you look at it. Switching gears, we saw a hockey game yesterday go 4 overtimes. It ended 2 in the morning in Carolina.
Yeah.
Unfriggin' believable. Probably one of the best sports ever. As far as the hockey playoffs go, what's the news in Pittsburgh? You're there with the goaltending situation that they don't want to address quite yet. And what I basically said months ago, get a guy like John Gibson, Pittsburgh boy, back into the burg. But they got to do something because this team's getting a little long in the tooth. But at the same time, I wouldn't tinker out the offense as much as I'd tinker out the defense and the goaltending situation. Any thoughts on that?
What the Penguins have to do, Mark, is they have to hire the right GM, okay? They have multiple teams of assistant GMs, GMs that they're trying to go after. The teams are not giving them permission to talk to these guys. This is the whole problem. And the Penguins now are down to the bottom of scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to get people to come in and do this job. I don't know if they don't like the Fenway group or they don't like the fact that Lemieux is not, full partner anymore. I mean, you know, he doesn't call the shots, him and Ron Burkle. Fenway does. So, you know, but like I said, the GM search is getting a little out of control here now because they can't seem to get anybody that they want because they're getting denied by these teams to talk to these guys. Now, they wanted that Dubas from Toronto, and he decided to retire from hockey. But I'm hearing stories now that Fenway may be ringing his phone and saying, hey, we'll give you double what Toronto was paying you if you come out of retirement and coach Penguin or be the GM at the Penguins. Because Fenway has deep pockets, Mark. They're not afraid to spend money, okay? And they will not tolerate a losing team again. And, you know, Mike Sullivan should be lucky he didn't get fired with the rest of them here. But, like I said before, we'll see where Mike Sullivan goes when the new GM gets in here. But if I was the Fenway group, I'd knock on his door. I'd ring his phone and say, listen, I'll give you double what Toronto was paying you if you come out of retirement because they need somebody like that. The draft's coming up. I don't even know what plan they have for that. And you're right. They have to get some free agents in here. They got to change the goaltending thing. Jari, he wants a new contract. I don't think he's worth it. We have backup Casey DeSmith, who's, believe it or not, doing well with the U.S. hockey team. So, and he's a backup, and he's only making $1 million. But, I mean, and he's sort of like a roller coaster. He goes up and down. So, you know, there has to be some consistency of goaltending. They got to get meaner. They got to get faster. That's two things they're not. They're not mean and they're not fast. And if they don't start doing something soon, they're not going to have – this team's going to be bad and people are not going to show up at the games. They were already down 3,000-4,000 a game. They didn't sell out any games this year. So it's been a bad situation for the Penguins, and it's only going to get worse if they don't get the right person in there to get this done. And Fenway's smart. They know what to do. I'm just hoping that maybe – and, again, if it was me, I'd knock on his door or I'd ring his phone and say, listen, I'll give you double what you were making in Toronto if you come and work for us. So, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Well, here's the problem. And if you don't do anything and you stand pat, then what ends up happening, the league starts to make a move on you. And the Penguins, I've noticed for the last couple seasons, they've signed that core offensive juggernauts and Gensel and all those guys, which is great. But the problem is without Letang back there, it's been a little weak. And the goaltending, we haven't seen the goaltending since Matt Murray left. And the problem is you can't count on Tristan Jarry and you can't count on Gacy DeSmith. Injuries stop him. It's a long season, I understand. But you need a stalwart in there, and the only stalwart I could think of is the guy out here in Anaheim, John Gibson, that you could put in the net. He's a Pittsburgh kid I've talked about, and I'm lobbying to him to get back into Pittsburgh because that would solidify it, you know, and the Penguins would be back into contention there. But if you don't do nothing, you get long and the two teams pass you up, and we've seen this. The Penguins have failed to advance, I think, the first time they were out of the playoffs in 16 seasons. But when they got into the playoffs, the last 4 years they've been knocked out pretty much in the first round by teams like the Islanders and Rangers and Canadians. They haven't made it to the second round. I think you'd have to go back to their Stanley Cup run when they took out San Jose and Nashville.
Yeah, exactly, Mark. They haven't, and it's sad. And again, this team, Fenway has to fix this, because if they don't, the Penguins are going to get so far behind, I don't think they're going to know how to catch up. And, I mean, they're an aging team. I'm not saying, and I'm not trying to beat this to be insensitive, but I think they should have tried to trade Malkin and get a bunch of prospects and get maybe a couple stars, a goaltender or something. They should have done that. Crosby, yes, I'm fine with Crosby. Malkin, I think we should have traded Malkin. Letang, he just had another stroke last year or whatever. And then he's been, you know, getting hurt all the time. And that was a big signing. And now I'm hearing Jake Gensel maybe getting traded. So I don't know what this new GM's going to do, but they better do something fast because the draft's coming up, and they better get started on some free agency before they get so far behind the eight ball, Mark. They're not going to be able to catch up, and it's going to be sad.
Yeah. As we wind this show up, coaches getting fired in the NBA. We've seen the John Morant situation take place. We've seen Toronto get rid of their GM. I guess, what have you done for me lately? And if you go out in the first or second round, teams are getting rid of coaches and GMs. I think it's unfair to a certain extent. Any thought on that as you start to wrap this up?
Yeah, that is unfair, Mark. I mean, you know, here's a guy who comes in, he works for you, and he does well. But see, here's the thing, Mark. It's been said. Bill Cowher has said it many times. If you're not in this to win the Super Bowl, you shouldn't be in this. Okay? If you're not in it to win the NBA championship, you shouldn't be in it. So if a coach, most of these teams, that's their mindset. And so you get some of these owners that'll say, oh, well, you know, I got egg on my face, or I'm looking bad because this coach can't get me to the big dance. And that's when they go and they say, out. But, you know, if you got guys that are coming into a certain team, and we've seen this many times, not just in the NFL, but all across sports, Mark, where you'll get a coach that will come in, and he'll be there for one season, and he didn't make it to the Super Bowl or to the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup or the World Series or anything, and then right after the season's over, he's immediately fired. Look at the Houston Texans, okay? How many coaches have they gone through, okay, since Bill O'Brien? Okay, and then they screwed Lovie Smith. They screwed Dave Cawley. They shouldn't even hire Dave Cawley. And Lovie Smith got screwed out of that job, Donner. I mean, he was only there for one season. So, Dallas, look at Jerry Jones with coaches, his history with coaches. So what I'm saying is when you have the reputation like that, a lot of guys are not going to coach for you. And then on top of that, the fans suffer because they pay for the tickets to go to these things, and then the fans get mad because of this. You know what I'm saying? So
no, you break up points. You definitely break. Yeah, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you
people
as we reconvene in Tampa on Wednesday, and then Thursday in Pittsburgh, Erie, Pennsylvania, to be precise. And then
yeah,
next
I'll
Saturday,
be here.
We'll be back
be here
with this
yeah
show.
Right. I'll be back in Pittsburgh on Saturday, 9:30 a.m. here on Block Talk Radio. Tell your friend, tell your cousin, tell somebody. All right. I have, you can reach me, RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. You can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me on Twitter. You can reach me on LinkedIn. And I'm on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. Please. You know what, Mark? I don't know what this is, man. It's taken 8 months for me to get to 100 I got the 60 like by before, way before Christmas, and then when I asked everybody to get me to 100, I'm still too short, and we're going into June. So, I mean, you know,
yeah.
But I don't know what it is, but I need only need two more to make 100.
Yeah,
so
two more. Get
it
out there, guys.
Out there,
more promotion
yeah.
across the board. You listen to the show.
Yeah.
Let's get the guy to the livings.
Yeah.
For
I mean,
Ralph
on,
Williams and
Harry,
happy anniversary to him and his wife out there. Yours truly, Mark.
Thank you.
Nancy,
have a great
Los
one,
Angeles.
Mark. Thank you.
You're welcome for that. Stay safe this weekend. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Till next Saturday when we reconvene. High noon in more or less Pittsburgh, 9 o'clock out here. Till then, have a blessed one, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in.
I don't want to see Bob.